This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, help us to pray like Paul, that we would say we could do all things, but only in you who strengthen us. Amen. Happy Independence Day weekend. With everyone sitting towards the back, I feel like the guy who lights the fireworks at the display where everyone sort of... I have no firecrackers, guys. Every 3 years around this time, we get these readings. We have a three-year cycle, huh? And I always go back now because I think it was 9 years ago when I had an experience with our adult pilgrimage that I share with you, and some of you will remember it because you were there. You all know that if you've traveled with me on a trip or a pilgrimage or a mission trip, then when it comes departure day, this calm, mild-mannered priest becomes a bit of a crazy dictator when it comes to putting on his travel director hat and getting things organized for the trip. I've learned over the years through my professional life as a travel director and as doing this as a priest that you have to keep it religiously, no pun intended, organized so that the bags don't get messed up. Well, on this particular trip, someone showed up at the last minute, and they were going to help, but they didn't know the process, and I knew something was going to get messed up, that the bags that were for the group, for the individual, for the carry-ons, that the counts would get messed up, and somebody would suffer. Well, we were halfway on the bus to Miami when it dawned on me that the suitcase that I had packed for this trip was securely locked in the trunk of my car at St. Joseph's. I was not a happy camper. Well, it took about halfway across the ocean for me to settle down and for finally just to try to listen for the voice of God, and I got whopped upside the head, and I heard God saying to me, "Marty, this pilgrimage was never about you." And lo and behold, we had just had this particular gospel the week before. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. I got it. And as the story goes on, for those of you who weren't here when I've told this before, there is a thing called Costco that exists even in Edinburgh, Scotland. And that's where we stopped on the way home from the airport so that I could pick up some t-shirts. And, of course, the ladies on the trip all wanted to go on and help me pick out underwear, to which I politely refused. But we got the stuff. But you know what? In retrospect, it turned out to be the greatest gift that God could have given me, because it freed me up not have to worry about packing a bag every time we were going from place to place. I grabbed my t-shirts and my underwear and off we went. It was wonderful. It has changed my approach to the way I pack for any kind of a trip. You really don't need that much baggage, either the physical baggage or the baggage we carry in here. Now, these readings today that we are given have a lot to say to us about that. That it's not about me, it's about God. Classic reading from Kings that we hear today about Naaman, a powerful, talented, and egotistical leader in the army who has contracted a horrible thing called leprosy. Now, we know from the stories that we've heard of leprosy, it's an ugly disease and is one that is very isolating And the worse the disease gets, the uglier you look and the more isolated you get, because nobody wants to come anywhere near you because they don't want to get it. So here is this Naaman. You think he would be willing to do anything to be relieved of this disease. And lo and behold, there is this woman whom they take in captive, who becomes now in the court of Naaman's wife, who's from Israel, who knows this prophet that we happened to hear about last week by the name of Elisha, who had received the mantle from Elijah. You remember the story from last week. And I said, and Elisha went on and did all these great things. Well, here's one of the great things this week. He's got a great gift for healing. The assistant to Naaman's wife makes this known, and the word gets around. So now there is this opportunity for Naaman to be healed. Well, there's the ego again. So what does he end up doing? He gets this whole parade, this entourage, chariots, horses, and everything, to go to the prophet's house. And he's expecting Elisha will come out. And what does he say? Well, I was expecting Elisha to come out, wave his hands over my diseased, leprosied body, and poof, I would be healed. And he doesn't say this, but what is the tone that he was expecting? They would raise him up on their shoulders and they would parade off and say, yes, the great Naaman has been healed. It was always about Naaman. And that's what he needed to learn. This is not about you. This is about the power of God and what God can do. As I said in the opening prayer, I can do all things in him who strengthens me, and that's what it's about. He's very upset. And so the friends come and say, look, all the guy was telling you to do is go down to the river and take a bath, and you can be healed of this. Why don't you want to do that? And finally, that's what he ends up doing, and yes, he is healed. Let us hope that he learned his lesson. Let's hope we learn the lesson that it's not always about us. A priest friend of mine does a whole series of talks on ego, and he uses ego as an acronym, E-G-O, edging God out. I like that, because that's a tendency that I think all of us can get into. That it's not necessarily about me. Now we go to this letter from Galatians, and what does Paul say? May I never boast of anything except the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. Same message. This is what it is about. So now we can skip ahead to this gospel where Jesus is sending out the 70. And that 70, of course, they believed that there were 70 nations. So the symbolism here in Luke, just as Moses sent out 70 elders, the symbolism is everybody's being sent out, and they're being sent out to the whole world. So if you think we have too narrow a scope in our task, no. Everybody's called to be sent out to everybody. And what are we sent out to do? To proclaim that the kingdom has come near. Now, here's where I think the link to our Independence Day comes in. We are blessed to live in a country that has been incredibly successful for 200 plus years. And as we quote Abraham Lincoln with his Thanksgiving proclamation every Thanksgiving morning, if you come to the service here, Abraham Lincoln goes on and does this litany of all the things that have been blessings for us in this country, but then he twists it and says, but we have been deceived because we think it's all due to what we've done, and we forget that it's all because of God's blessings to us. That is a temptation for us, and it's a temptation that we need to fight. I can remember when I was growing up, I can even remember my mother reading this book to us, The Little Engine That Could. You all know that story? I think I can. And yes, he is able to get up there with all the toys. And then at the end of the story, after the puff, puff, chug, chug, he says, I thought I could. Great story, great message. Tells us that, yes, we have this incredible power. We have this incredible talent and gifts that we are meant to use. That's a great message. But the difficulty is when we start thinking it's all about success. And it never was about success. This is a challenge that we have because, let's face it, we've been pretty successful in this country. But as Christians, we're not called to seek success. The problem is, if that's what it becomes about, we get into the problems that we're experiencing in our world. Yes, I want to succeed at school at any cost, so I'll cheat my way through everything I can to get the highest score. I want to be successful in business at any cost, so yeah, I'll cheat, I'll lie, I'll steal whatever it takes so I can get on top. I'm in sports, so I want to be number one and get that big free agent contract. So I'll take the performance-enhancing drugs and do anything I can to get there. When it becomes nothing but about success, we're in trouble. And let's face it, we have to deal with failure in our lives. A friend of mine wrote a whole book, The Theology of Failure. And it turns out that our current Pope looks to that as one of the most influential books in his formation. Because we have to deal with failure in our lives. We don't always get the great job that we hope for. We don't always get the sabbatical grant we thought we deserved. We don't always have a marriage that works out. Not every marriage was made in heaven. We can work 24/7, and sometimes people just don't get it. Now, before you run out of here ready to slit your wrist and say, Father Marty, that was a real uplifting 4th of July sermon, the good news goes with this. It's not about success because it's just about us being faithful. And so therefore, I don't have to worry about the success part of it anymore. When all is said and done, and we sit before that throne, as Mother Teresa wisely said, there's never going to be a tally sheet on how successful we were. It's how faithful we were. Look at that gospel today. You get welcomed, you stay in that town, you stay with those people, and Jesus says, the kingdom of God has come near. Alternatively, you go, and they don't receive you, and they reject you, and they shake the dust from your feet as a protest against them. But likewise, the kingdom of God has come near. It's about being faithful. This is what we are called to be. I want to leave you today with something to ponder, because I think when we look as Christians living in this country and celebrating our freedom, it calls us to look within. You know, there's so much in the social media and there's so much in the news about who is telling the truth and who's full of lies and everything else. Well, let's bring it to ourselves. The question I think we need to ask ourselves is, how much am I seeking success vis-a-vis being faithful? Or to put it even in simpler terms, how's it going with my integrity? Because in the end, that's all that matters. Naaman had a huge ego and integrity problem. Paul did, but got over it. Big time, that he boasts of nothing but the cross of Jesus. we're being sent out. But we're being sent out and called to be a people of integrity. Are we living up to that? So pray on this Independence Day weekend. Number one, thank God for people of integrity that we look up to. But also pray that in whatever way God is calling you and me to be more a person of integrity, we'll have the courage to do that. Amen.